Today, though, I want to talk about something more concrete, okay? And, you know, it can be a little serious, too, but... So, we live in what's the city we live in the region? Toronto, right? The 6, the T-dot. I don't know what you guys call it, but... Toronto, it's a big city, and it's a big region. Would you agree with me, right? There are literally millions of people in this region. And overall, it's a pretty safe and decent place. We're pretty fortunate that way. But you know what? Things still happen, right? And for example, you know, our things like our personal safety, sometimes it can be at risk, right? And things happen. There's a lot, you know, all sorts of things. My previous career, I saw a lot of things, right? There's muggings, there's, you know, like indecent treatment towards women and girls, assaults, all sorts of other things. A big lesson from this is that, you know what, life is it's uncontrollable, you know, in the big scheme of things. As your children growing up, you know, your parents have done everything they can to protect you guys, right, and keep you safe and sound. And even now, they probably worry a lot about what you do, where you go, who you hang out with. Because, you know, there are a lot of possible dangers lurking out there. And, you know, you guys are often told, what's one thing you're told when it comes to strangers? Don't talk to them, right? Yeah, things like that. And probably most of you probably weren't allowed to travel by yourselves as kids, right? But now as you're getting older, you're gaining more independence and, you know, you're kind of having to face the world as it is, right? So as I was growing up, my parents, they owned a store. We had a number of different stores growing up. One of our stores is kind of in the hood, right? It's a lot of government housing projects, and it's a lot of poor people, a lot of young people, a lot of youths as well, right? So a lot of teenagers milling about, a lot of shoplifting. So one day, my aunt was watching the store, right, by herself, and this small group of teenagers came brazenly, just right in front of her, just took chocolate bars, kind of looked at her and then walked out. You know what I'm saying? Like, so my parents came back later, and I remember I was like 8 years old, right? And so my aunt told my dad about what happened, and my dad was like, who was it, right? And so there was actually, that group was in the parking lot, just milling about as if nothing happened. So she pointed them out, right? And so my dad was like, my dad in his broken English, you, come here, right? And so that, he's like a pretty big teenager, right? So he just walked in. He was like, all right, what's this Chinese guy going to do, right? So my dad took him to the back of the store. There's like a, let him there. There's a storage room at the back, right? Because I remember, because I got like hunna there, right? when I got in trouble. Anyway, so my dad let him there. The guy walked in. As soon as he walked in, so my background, my dad, he used to be a black belt judo, right? As soon as he walked in, went whack, right onto the ground, right? This hard smack. And then, so right away, the guy, this big guy, he's like, mercy, right? So let's just say after that, a little rep spread and the shoplifting rates went right down. So these are kind of like some fun stories, but like in this day and age, though, I wouldn't advise that to anyone because I don't know, like just society has changed a lot. Back then, like after that, there was some respect, right? Yeah, yo, don't mess with that Chinese guy, you know? Because they didn't know what Koreans were back then, right? So just don't mess with that. But you know, so, I mean, that's a life story, but serious things, they happen, right? And I know that like on the streets or like places, you know, a common thing that can happen are things like, you know, you get like teased for your money or mugged, right? For young girls, I don't know, it can be a scary world too. You know, there's like all sorts of creepy men out there, right? You know, they can make comments or just make you feel like violated in a way, you know? So that's kind of a reality. So an unfortunate thing, a result is that, you know, when these kind of things happen to us, what does it do, right? It makes us feel fearful, right? Maybe guarded after, mistrustful, right? They can also cause us to become withdrawn, right? And to hold back in order to feel more safe, right? So the underlying the thing is it's fear, right? Fear is a prevailing emotion, and we try to control this fear. Remember last week we talked about that fear control cycle? We try to control this fear to make it go away, or we try not to think about it, but we don't realize that we can be more on edge and easily provoked because we haven't dealt with it. So I also wondered, you know, why do people do things that would make people feel uncomfortable or that would cause harm to others, you know? What makes people inflict harm? So in my previous life as a criminal lawyer, you know, I represented a good number of youth, you know, who got into trouble with the law. In particular, I represented a good number of youth charged with, like, you know, just robbing other kids, you know, of money and things like that. So I got to know some of these kids better, right? And I started to see some patterns here. So, you know what, first of all, in almost all of them, they were all children of poor and working single mothers, okay? So this means that their moms were working a lot, and so they were alone quite a bit. And so what does that mean? They had to kind of navigate life largely on their own with their friends and peers. And often as guys, they faced kind of a harsh world of having to prove themselves. You know, they were often told, whether directly or subtly, that they're kind of worth less than others because you're poor, or that they were worse. They're worse off than those who had good families. They got the message that they weren't loved as others, right? And often, you know, they suffered some sort of kind of abuse at the hands of others, whether they themselves got beat up by older kids in the neighborhood or whether they themselves got robbed or whatever. So anyways, they had some kind of damage from the environment that they grew up in and what society told them. So what is that? So I thought to myself, you know, when you get that kind of damage, what does it do to you, right? It makes you kind of lose insight and empathy. Okay, you guys know what empathy is? Jocelyn, what does empathy mean to you?
When you have experience and things, you know, like if somebody's experiencing the same thing, you feel bad for them because you know what it's like.
Yeah, okay, good. So it's kind of like empathy is the ability to feel the emotions or pain of another person, right? Okay, so when you yourself are kind of damaged, you can't do that. You actually become very self-centered in a way because you have your own pain. Okay, you know, last week we talked about one of the things about following Jesus. What was that first thing? Do you guys remember? Anyone remember? If anyone want to follow me, let them. Well, take up their cross is one. Before that, deny themselves, right? We talked about deny themselves, meaning taking yourself away from the center, okay? But when you still have unresolved kind of lingering things, it's hard to just deny yourself, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, you're still focused on yourself. A lot of these kids were damaged and also felt powerless in many ways, right? And no one likes to feel powerless. And so one way to overcome that sense of powerlessness is to try to exert it on others, okay? And it's a vicious cycle, so of receiving pain and inflicting on others. So if you can imagine, so the root cause of a lot of these actions is often unresolved pain, hurt, anger, sense of not being loved, low self-esteem, and powerlessness. You hear? You know what I'm saying? Like, and so it's unresolved, so you inflict it on others. And then, so that person who then receives the pain, if they don't resolve it, they will then inflict that on others. You guys know what I'm saying? It's a vicious cycle. It can become a vicious cycle. So in a way, I think as human beings, we have a moral responsibility, if you think about it this way. When we receive some kind of hurt or damage, we have a moral responsibility to deal with it, in order not to continue the cycle in this world. I mean, you know what I'm saying? This world, there's a lot of brokenness. And that's why, I mean, our response, we try to shield ourselves from this brokenness. But, you know, that's very hard to do all the time. Like, because the world, it is what it is. So I ask myself, is shielding ourselves the best way to deal with it? Right? And I don't know. I don't think that's the best way. I think in order to be able to, quote, deny ourselves, we have to first be aware of what's inside. What kind of pain do I have? What kind of hurts have I had, right? We need to acknowledge that first, okay? And then, that alone is a difficult thing. Who likes to acknowledge your pain, right? We don't really like that. We'd just rather ignore it and focus on other things, right? But only when we face it directly can we start to be healed from it. Okay? Because only by being healed ourselves can we have empathy for others. guys. You guys are going to learn a lot of things in school about what leadership is and like all this stuff. But here's the number one thing I think we can have as human leaders, okay, is the gift of empathy. Okay, if there's anything you remember, take that away. Gift of empathy is the greatest gift you can have as a human being and as a leader, because that is what ultimately allows you to connect with others, when you can feel what others are feeling. Okay. And when we have empathy, then you actually will think about what my actions might do to the other person, right? And so the gift from our faith that we have from God is that we have God as our strength, okay? When we acknowledge and are honest to God about whatever is in our hearts, then we don't have to try to ignore it and avoid it. God will heal us. God will restore us. Okay, we read today in this passage, you know, God restores our soul. He leads us to still waters, you know, replenishes us. And not only that, but God takes away our fear, right? Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. So this doesn't mean that we're naive. You know, we still need to be smart and aware of what's around us, but we don't let fear dictate us, right? And those are things that we leave in faith to God. It's hard for us to be strong and courageous on our own, but with God as our shepherd, God as our guide, God gives us strength and courage. Okay, so the most important thing is we be honest to God and cry out to Him about them. We can lament, we can complain and cry, but only pure honesty can lead to healing and restoration. Okay, I'm gonna invite us to reflect a bit. Yeah, so I'm going to play a reflection song. You can actually listen to the lyrics too, but I'm going to invite us to a time of our own reflection of what's in our own hearts, okay? Because I want us to practice, okay? Being honest about ourselves and being honest to God. Okay, so let's bow our heads. I'm going to invite us to bow our heads. Okay. And just think first of all into your own hearts, okay? Okay, ask God to reveal to you anything, any lingering hurt or pain or anger or bitterness that you haven't resolved, okay? Let's ask God to reveal that. God is our shepherd. Whatever we maybe have in our hearts, let's bring it to God. Let's ask God. God, come into my heart. Yes, help me to understand any kind of pain or hurt, unresolved things that I have. And God, may you heal me. May you restore my soul, as you say in the Bible. Let's invite God to do that. Let us pray together. Dear God, thank you for just your word for us today. God, there are a lot of things that can happen in life and in this world around us. And often we might not even be aware of things in our own hearts. Maybe we've been hurt, or maybe we have some emotions that we haven't resolved yet. But God, we invite you to come reveal whatever is in our hearts, Lord, so that we may experience healing and restoration from you. We thank you, God, for loving us and for calling out to us. May these words be in our hearts, And in our own walk with you, help us to daily trust in you and place our faith in you so that we may find strength, courage, and healing. We thank you and we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.